0-2. Whiteside, the left-hander, serves as Johnson Foley. Did he come across? And now going to get tagged out at first from Spence over to Meadenbauer for one down. Matt Olive will not be batting, as usually looks like it will be Olive's spot, but Kyle Carlson will step in, and Carlson, a guy out of Piedmont College. So Kyle Carlson, the Georgia native, batting a 263 with 10 hits on 38 at-bats, is pinch hitting for Olive. He's down the count 0-1. Carlson with 6 RBIs this season for Wisconsin Rapids. Down in the dirt for Whiteside. Count is at 1-1 with one out. One ball, one strike, one out. Whiteside delivers as Carlson pops one up, back out on the right side. 1-2. One ball, two strikes. Coming set is Whiteside, outside edge. Three balls and a strike. Excuse me, two balls and two strikes. 2-2 for Whiteside. Down low and away for a ball. So a full count here with one out. One down. Count runs full. Ben Whiteside, the Butler product, sees the 3-2, pops back out on the right side of the netting into the netting for a full count. After 6 hits, Chinooks 5. The Rafters 5 runs. Much needed. Whiteside sets and serves on the inside edge for strike number 3 and out number 2. Carlson saw it the entire way through and was struck out looking. So this brings up Logan Hugo, the Eastern Michigan product out of Essexville, Michigan, who's 1-for-3 today with a run, an RBI, and a walk. He also struck out once, so a little bit of everything for a day for Logan Hugo. Two down, top 8. The serve from Whiteside up in the zone for a ball, 1-0. The 1-0, swing and a miss. Inside, Hugo went after it. 1-1. So 1-1 count. Two down, top 8. Chinook's on the verge of a 3-up and 3-down inning. They desperately need, as a 1-1 ball popped up into shallow left field, and coming under it is the shortstop, Gabe Ressler. So Chinooks go 3 up and 3 down as we head to the bottom of the 8th. Rafters still lead 5-0. We'll be back in a moment here on WFHR.
They spend their work life helping others. Police officers, firefighters, active and retired military service members, first responders, healthcare workers, and teachers. Chris Inda, realtor with Next Home Partners, helps finding their home life a little easier.
Hi, I'm Chris Inda. As a veteran myself, I know how important it is to have a place you can rest, recuperate, and call home.
Ask about the Homes for Heroes program today at 715-741-1851 or search for Chris Inda Realty on Facebook.
Who makes insurance simple? That's easy. Delta Dental of Wisconsin. So if you ask, what company encourages you to use your benefits for regular preventive care? Or who provides quick service online or by phone? Which insurance offers access to the largest provider networks? Or who helps you save money when you need more than a checkup? The answer's the same. Definitely Delta Dental. For dental and vision insurance made simple, choose Delta Dental of Wisconsin and Delta Vision today.
Mid-State Technical College. You belong here. Start your classes and get your degree right here or transfer to your four-year.
Mid-State Technical College. You belong here. In person at four convenient campuses, online or a hybrid.
Mid-State Technical College. You belong here for your Career Accelerator Certificate, a quick way to get ahead in your career.
Mid-State Technical College. You belong here.
Get started at mstc.edu.
Mid-State Technical College. You belong here.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
To the bottom of the eighth we go. Rafters lead 5-0. And he started off in the top of the second with two runs and then followed it up in the third with a run. And then in the sixth and seventh, they got a run apiece. So Rafters lead 5-0 as a pitching change is Alec Burnett stepping onto the mound for the Rafters. As Burnett has already had three games with three innings pitched, allowing a hit and having five strikeouts and three walks on 15 batters faced. So Joey Spence will check in as Burnett throws across the plate for a strike, 0-1. Burnett's second season in Wisconsin Rapids, he had 21 games played for them last year with a 2-0 record. Had 40 strikeouts on 26 innings pitched. So he had an unbelievable season as the 0-1 fouled on the left side. So out of Wagner College in Columbus, Indiana, plays his collegiate ball with Chris Conniff. 0-2 count, he's ahead early on Joey Spence. The 0-2 up and away for a ball. Spence 0-for-3 today, struck out, fouled out, fouled, flown out, and grounded out. 1-2 count here for Burnett. Come set and serve. Swing and a miss. Right upstairs for strike number three and out number one. Alec Burnett starts his day off with a strikeout. As Tad Gollard is due up. Gollard 2-for-3 today. Has a stolen base. Batting at 250. He's been a bright spot for Lakeshore. Missouri State product. Burnett comes set and serves as Gollard swings and flies a ball into deep center field, but coming under it and making the play is Ty Johnson. So two down for the Rafters here in bottom eight. Adam Cuteway will step in. 0-for-2 today. Hit by a pitch, struck out. So the Wisconsin Whitewater products, the right-hander on Burnett. So two down for the Rafters, bottom of the eighth, as that ball lined on the right field side. One strike, 0-1. The 0-1. Outside for a ball, 1-1. One ball, one strike, two outs, bottom of the eighth as pitch comes in, down and away for the second ball, 2-1. Two, one count, two outs. The serve from Burnett way inside as Cuteway had to back away. 3-1 now. Rafters not allowed a run this game. You hope that's the case for the next two innings. As the 3-1 comes inside and ball popped back outside behind home plate. 3-2. Two outs, three balls and two strikes. Burnett comes set and serves the full count. Swing and a miss. Right down the plate for strike three and out number three. Raptors have a 3-3 down inning as Burnett two strikeouts as we head to the top of the ninth. The Raptors lead 5-0. We'll be back in a moment here on WFHR.
You have been listening to Raptors Baseball here on WFHR. Brought to you by Wisconsin River Orthopedics, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, SNS Distributing, El Cafe, Edward Jones Sky Manning, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, Chris Inda Next Home Partners, and Dixon Gun Shop. Stream every game all season long at WFHR.com or through the Civic Media app.
Go yard this summer with cool cash rebates from Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, a proud partner of your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. Right now, you can upgrade to a new Bryant AC and get up to $1,350 in rebates and rewards on qualifying models. It's a surefire way to beat the summer heat and walk off in style. Comfort Air, your local experts, doing whatever it takes to keep you comfortable.
Hurry, this offer is good until the end of June. Get started now by visiting comfortair.biz. That's comfort, A-I-R-E.
Better begins with the way we treat each other, the way we listen to one another, and the way we serve and support each other. At Aspirus Health, better begins with a commitment to help build healthy families, healthy relationships, and healthy communities throughout a lifetime, from generation to generation. For whatever needs to be better in your life, better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence, compassion for people.
Let's get back to Raptors Baseball here on WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
We return to the top of the ninth as James Castagnola Benning stepping in as the UC Irvine product. Sets in and receives a ball. So three balls and no strikes. Here for Castagnola, UC Irvine product. And a strike comes down the plate for Whiteside, 3-1. Castagnola had two at-bats yesterday. He was walked on one of them. Didn't have a big day as the 3-1 comes outside for ball number four. Castagnola will take first. Levi Jensen due up here. Castagnola pinch hitting for DeGaudi.
The catcher.
Levi Jensen. Out of North Alabama. Raptors lead 5-0 as ball comes across the plate. They've out hit the Chinook 6-5. Only committed an error. Lakeshore has had three. Some big hits, big base running, some timely strikeouts. Let's put this Raptors team in front as the 1-0 comes inside for a strike, 1-1. The 1-1, Jensen skies one and behind home plate into the stands. 1-2 now. One ball, two strikes. Leading off at first is Castanola. The 1-2 inside as Jensen flies a ball into right field out of play in foul territory. No outs, top of the ninth. Rafters, two runs in the second, a run in the third, and then a run in the sixth, and then another one in the seventh. As the 1-2 comes inside, Jensen flies one once again out of play in the same direction as that last foul ball went. 1-2. The 1-2 from Whiteside. Down the plate for strike number three and out number one. Jensen saw it looking. Paid the price. And we turn to the top of the order for Brandon Rogers.
Right fielder, Brandon Rogers.
A guy who's 2-for-5 today with an RBI and a strikeout. Flown out. He's grounded out. As Rogers sees one in the dirt, and Spence throws it over to second, the tag out in time, and he did get him. Castanola gets tagged out running as an excellent throw from Joey Spence over to the shortstop, Gabe Ressler. So two down here in the top of the ninth.
Hey, Jets fans, if you're accused of stealing or any other offense, call the attorneys at Hartley Law Office.
One ball, no strikes. Two outs. Rogers fouls one off of his right ankle and goes down. Boy, that hurts. Brandon Rogers gets back up quickly, but he's shaking that one off. Foul ball right to his right ankle. Seems to be okay as he's walking out of the batter's box. And to walk that one off, that hurts. The no balls and a strike, two outs. Top of the ninth. The 0-1, up and away for a ball, 1-1. So actually, two balls and a strike now, with two outs. The 2-1. Inside, Rogers backs away this time, and he almost got hit again. Three balls and a strike. Two outs. Top of the ninth, Rafters out hit the Chinook 6-5. They have a commanding 5-0 lead. The 3-1 inside as Rogers grounds one in between second and third. That rolls into left field. Brandon Rogers, his third hit on his sixth at-bat. He hobbles over to first. So Rogers at first, and this brings up hold on a sec, Danny Sheeler. Sheeler pinch hitting for Conniff. Salisbury product out of Towson, Maryland. So the left-hander wearing number 48. Sheeler comes set and serve down low for a ball 0-1. He's had 12 at-bats with three games played. He's had a hit, struck out four times as he's down 0-1. Bounces in the dirt for Whiteside. Count runs at one apiece. One ball, one strike. The 1-1. Outside for a ball, 2-1. Sheeler pops one back. Left side, 2-2. So Rogers at first. on a chilly night here in Maquon. Rafters on the verge, the 2-2. Sheeler drives one into left center. Running under it is the center, and Townsend reaches out, doesn't make the catch. Ball drops in to left center. Rounding third, heading for home is Rogers, and he gets home in time. Danny Sheeler, an RBI on his first at-bat. Raptors up 6-0 here in the top of the ninth. How about it, Brandon Rogers?
The shortstop.
Have out-hit Lakeshore 8-5 as Garrett Broussard will step in. Danny Sheeler on his second hit of the season on 13 at-bats, comes up big, records his first RBI. 0-2 inside, out and away for a ball, 1-0. One ball, no strikes, two outs. The 1-0 from Whiteside is swinging a fly ball into center, and reaching out and making the grab is the center fielder Townsend for the third out. Not before the Raptors get a run. They lead 6-0. Do they have three more outs in them? We'll find out next here in the bottom of the ninth here on WFH.
If you're talking, they will hear you.
We all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy. So we show them how. And we tell them. With honest conversations that let them know what we expect. Not just one time, but every chance we get. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. Kids not only need to know the dangers and how to avoid them, they need to hear it often from you. And when it comes to pain medications, opioids, they need to know that they should never be taken without a prescription and never shared with friends or family. It's dangerous and illegal. So, talk with your kids and guide them through the challenges of growing up safe and healthy. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
So talk, they hear you. You can do it if you try.
The Rick Smith Show. Where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
Let's get back to the game here on WFHR.
We return to the bottom of the ninth inning. Raptors on the verge here, getting a victory, a much needed victory. As Julian Tristan checks in, and well, Tristan, a guy who's had 5 games and 6 innings pitched, as swinging a driven ball from Johannes into shallow right center, and Brandon Rogers comes out and makes the catch, one down. Tristan out of Westcliff University, and an Irvine, California native, has had 4 strikeouts prior to today. So Josh Overbeek will check in. A left-hander on Julian Tristan. Tristan sets and serves outside for a strike, 0-1. As Tristan throws the ball across the plate. The 1-1. Inside for a ball, 2-1. So Julian Tristan has been called upon a lot in the ninth inning. In fact, almost every game he's played, as he's been pitched in the ninth, as the 2-1 outside and away, 3 balls and a strike. The 3-1. Swing and a drive into center, and Ty Johnson makes a routine grab for the second out. So the Raptors one away here from shutting out the Chinooks on runs.
The designated hitter.
So the DH, Andy Nelson, called upon here on this evening where Rafters can hold Lakeshore to no runs. And be the third time they've done that to an opponent this season. Ball and no strikes. Two outs. Tristan sets and serves the 1-0. Right down the plate for a strike, 1-1. The 1-1. Curveball down the plate again. Right down Main Street for the second strike. So after is one strike away. The 1-2. Check swing. Did he fully come across? Was Nelson. Did not. Two balls and two strikes. 2-2 count. For Julian Tristan. Sets, kicks, and winds. Curveball way outside for a ball. So full count here with two outs. Julian Tristan, the Westcliff product, serves the ball inside. It is now 3-2. Umpetter resets. So three balls and two strikes now with two outs. Full count. Bottom of the ninth. Rafters on the verge of getting their ninth win. The kick, the wind, the curveball inside for ball number four. So Nelson will take first. So Andy Nelson will see first the Iowa product. Now this brings up Drew Townsend, the center fielder. Tristan delivers inside for a strike. He's ahead in the count, 0-1. Tristan again, down low for a ball, 1-1. Rafters do not need a rally. They are up six runs. Just got to put the game to bed. Leading off at first is Nelson, the 1-1. Outside, up and away for a ball, 2-1 now. Two balls, one strike, two outs. Rafters have out-hit the Chinooks, 8-5. The 2-1, down low, but a strike, 2-2. The 2-2, as Tristan steps off the mound, and that will advance Nelson to second. A pitching violation there from Julian Tristan. Nelson leads off at second. The 2-2, swing and a bouncer on the third baseline. Running after it is Carlson, flips it over and does not in time, was about to. So runners on first and third here. As Castanola is at third. So now runners on first and third. Julian Tristan has been one strike away multiple times. So Sam Meidenbauer and the Milwaukee School of Engineering. Rafters lead 6-0 as Tristan serves inside, and backing away was Meidenbauer for a ball, 1-0. Meidenbauer has been walked 0-2 as Tristan once again throws it way inside of the plate, 2-0. Rafters do not need a rally here. There's two down. They just need one more out. The 2-0, down the plate, in the zone for a strike, 2-1. The 2-1 from Tristan, outside edge, goes behind Jensen. Getting home is Nelson, So the Rafters do not shut out the Chinooks. They get a run. And it's 6-1 now. Advancing to second is Townsend. 3 balls and a strike. So one run comes here in the bottom of the ninth for the Chinooks. Tristan sets and serves a 3-1 as fouled on the right side. 3-2. So once again, Julian Tristan, one strike away. Sets and serves the 3-2. Ground ball to Jack Gurevich, the first baseman, steps on the bag, and that will do it. The Rafters secure their ninth victory, and they win 6-1 on a day where they out-hit the Chinooks 8-6. Committed only one error compared to Lakeshore's 3, and a much-needed victory for this Rafters side. So, a big day for guys like Jack Gurevich. Brandon Rogers had 3 hits today. Jack Gurevich was able to get 2 RBIs. RBI came from Hugo and Degatti as well. So Rogers was the guy, 3 hits on 6 at-bats with an RBI. But Wisconsin Rapids Rafters take the second game here in Lakeshore. They improve their record 9-6. 9-6, so an off day tomorrow, the first off day for these guys. And since they got here, so a much-needed off day and much-needed rest day for the Rafters. It's a league-wide off day, so no team will be playing tomorrow. But the Rafters will take on the Kalamazoo Growlers for a 2-game series on Thursday and Friday at Witter Field. And then they're going to see the Chinooks once again on Saturday and Sunday. But for everybody at Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, for the players, coaches, and staff, for WFHR and everybody at the studio, for my name is Joey Fear saying so long from Maquon, Wisconsin. Rafters win 6-1. We'll see you guys on Thursday. Good night, everybody.
Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Can I touch this? Where does sand...
In an extraordinary mass walkout from their jobs. They were protesting the rank greed, gross mismanagement, and abandonment of democratic duty by the owner of their papers. That owner is Gannett, a massive financial conglomerate that has grabbed control of more than 200 dailies in 43 states. This is a huge, multidimensional news story about news itself. But where was the coverage? Big story number one. Unbeknownst to most people in these communities, they no longer have a local daily paper. Control over everything from news content to price now belongs to bean-counting strangers at Gannett headquarters hundreds of miles away. Big story number two. More fundamentally, control has moved from journalists to bankers. Gannett is owned by SoftBank, a Japanese hedge fund that has rapaciously looted American newsrooms to grab extravagant fees, salaries, and profits for its rich financial hucksters. Big story number three. The workaday hometown reporters, photographers, and others who actually produce Gannett's papers are making a gutsy stand against the profiteer, not just for themselves, but for the essential ideals of journalistic integrity and grassroots democracy. Biggest story of all. Gannett's 200 papers cravenly join in a concerted blanket cover-up of this story, stiffing the public they're supposed to serve and disrespecting the ethical stand of their own employees. Even Gannett's flagship paper, USA Today, which regularly reports on other labor actions, took a dive on covering the journalistic malfeasance of its own overseer. This is Jim Hightower saying, to fight hedge fund corporatization of journalism, go to newsguild.org.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So yesterday we talked about the guy who, you know, basically looked like your caricature of Florida Man. And he said that, you know, January 6th was going to look like a playground. Today, all they need was the order. Because they're at the ready as Trump was ushered through and out. He was not going to be held over. It went exactly as everyone planned, here to share some thoughts on what the spectacle was I've asked Lauren Windsor to come talk with us. Lauren is the executive producer of The Undercut, the executive director of American Family Voices, and also a partner over at Democracy Partners. Lauren, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me on, Rick.
So give me the sense. What did we see today?
So, I mean, generally speaking, it's another one of these big hype protest events where you get there and it ends up being, you know, almost, you know, one for one media to protesters. And, you know, spanning the traditional media, you know, broadcast, you know, digital print, but like, you know, streamers and, you know, more independent grassroots journalists. So I would be surprised if the protesters, you know, outnumbered the media presence by too much.
Yeah, well, all the people looking to capture the insanity, which kind of, you know, that's kind of the interesting interesting play that you see in a lot of these events. And I've gone to a number of them over the years where I remember when Joe, the unlicensed plumber, came here to Harrisburg, and there were like six of them and like 300 of everyone else. And I guess that feeds into our want to almost want to see craziness.
There's a lot of crazy. I mean, there were people more so on the right than the left, but you know, there were counter protesters there for sure. Supporters of Trump were the majority, and you know, a lot of them were very. It had a circus type atmosphere to it.
Well, so. Hello, have you been here since 2015? Are you new? It's kind of been a circus.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, it's, you know, not your sort of, I think, the typical conservative you would picture, you know. It was very much more like fringy shirts that say crazy things about Biden and the.
Put a frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life, the bills, the job, the family, things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you. You
don't know my. Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Through the back. You didn't see him get out of the car or, you know, get into the car because all that was underground.
Yeah, some of the images that came out of it, though, he didn't look good. He's taking it from all sides. And this is what happens, you know, maybe when you crime. Maybe don't do that.
Yeah, maybe don't. I mean, I think that his luck is beginning to run out. He has succeeded in, you know, being Teflon Don for so long that he just thinks that it will happen, be that way into perpetuity. But, you know, losing the election to Joe Biden removed some of that Teflon. And now we're seeing, really, I mean, when you've lost John Bolton, his former military advisor, is now, you know, on you know, cable television, cable news talking about how, you know, bad it looks for Trump. I think, you know, when you've lost John Bolton, it speaks to the degree of that you're in.
And now you've got, now you've got Alan Dershowitz, who has come out and said, you know, it's not a smoking gun, but it's a gun with fingerprints on it.
I think it was Bill Barr that said that if half of what was in the indictment is true, that Trump is toast. So, you know, it's not just his indictment, though. It's the hush money payments. It's Georgia. It's January 6th. It's also being investigated by Jack Smith. You know, even though Trump drew Eileen Cannon, one of his appointees who has acted favorably, ruled favorably for him in the past, you know, I think that it defies any logic, rationality, sanity whatsoever for him to be able to avoid all of those things. So, I don't know. All the lawyers that I follow on Twitter, that I talk to, about this, what they think is going on is, you know, that he's facing serious, like, prison time, that he's going to go to prison.
No, I don't think he's ever going to prison, but I think he will be found guilty. I just don't know that we're, I got to think Biden at the end of it will do something. I just don't see a president going to jail. I know a lot of people are angry with me for saying that, but I just don't know that that happens. So I don't want to get the hopes up, because we've been hearing this a lot, Lauren, over the last, 6 years. They've got him. Mueller's coming. He's going to resign. I've heard all of this stuff. Today was an important day because he actually was indicted. He actually was arraigned. He is going to stand trial at some point. And that's an important thing, I think.
It's very important. But, you know, I think it's more important to have the verdict, like, come in before the election than after the election, because I just think that he needs to face a jury before, every Republican candidate running is going to eventually line up to say, I'm going to pardon him. This is, you know, Vivek Ramaswamy was on site today, and, you know, he was the first GOP contender to say that if he won the nomination and won the presidency, that he would pardon Trump. And he called on every other contender for the GOP nomination to do the same thing. And so it's crazy to me that, you know, this is going to become a litmus test for the field to say, oh, I'll pardon him on the first day, or I'll pardon Trump, period, whatever. I would like to see some justice served and not, you know, just like this becoming a political bargaining chip.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I mean, to get a pardon, don't you have to, you know, admit to some things? I mean, isn't there a process by which you have to take some bit of responsibility? Something? Maybe ask one of your lawyer friends that. So last question I've got for you, you know, in looking out at none of it's over. Was it all that we were expecting? I mean, there was a lot of hype. This was going to be revolution. There were going to be armed people in the streets. Did it meet that level of expectation?
I've been in some hardcore protests, you know, like tens of thousands of people.
I know you have.
And over the past decade of you know, being in the field, chronicling grassroots movements, this was not exceptional. The only thing that made it exceptional was the fact that it was, you know, a second arraignment of a president. You know, like, everyone was kind of like, oh, this is crazy. This is historical. You know, it's a historical moment, but, you know, it wasn't like super theatrical. There wasn't any sort of revolutionary guard. And thankfully, you know, we don't want to see like strife and violence in American streets. So I'm glad that it was a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, it, I'm glad that it didn't live up to the violent hype that people wanted to say was going to be there.
No, I'm with you. And the most disappointed person today that didn't happen is obviously, in my view, Donald Trump. But Lauren, I appreciate the time. As always, great stuff. Keep up the amazing work you do, and I hope you'll come back and talk to us again real soon.
Thanks, Rick. Have a great day.
Thanks so much, our good friend Lauren Windsor. I want to get your thoughts. Email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com, or give us a call, 1-866-416-RICK, 1-866-416-7425. This is The Rick Smith Show for working people.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1991. That was the day that a San Francisco man, Jeffrey Collins, received $5.3 million for wrongful termination from Shell Oil. The judge ruled the company had fired Jeffrey because they found out he was gay. Jeffrey had been a second-generation Shell employee. His dad worked for the company for 37 years before retiring. Jeffrey worked for their Triton Biosciences division. He oversaw a team working on developing drugs for cancer, AIDS, and other diseases. For 19 years, he had received positive reviews and 9 promotions. He rose to become the second highest executive for Triton. All of that changed when management found an invitation to a party for gay men that Jeffrey planned to attend. And for that, they fired him. The company claimed they made this decision after reevaluating his performance. They stated that they felt Jeffrey could not be effective as a leader once his team learned of his off-the-job activities. After his firing, Jeffrey could not find a similar job. Despite all of this, he was willing to settle out of court for far less money. But Shell decided to fight the wrongful termination charges. Cases such as the one brought by Jeffrey helped to bring to light the employment discrimination faced by many in the LGBT community. Since his case, California, along with 28 other states and the District of Columbia, have passed laws prohibiting firings based on sexual orientation. 32 states have laws against discrimination based on gender identity. 434 of the Fortune 500 companies have implemented similar policies. Yet, despite these gains, protecting and improving LGBT rights on the job remains an important fight for today's labor movement. Labor History in 2, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on the Twitters at Labor History in 2.
Check out our website, TheRickSmithShow.com. Questions, comments, something near mind, email me, Rick@TheRickSmithShow.com. Number of emails from folks saying, you don't sound like yourself. It's because I'm sick. Got the COVID last week. I'm on day, I think this is day 6, what, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Yeah, day 6. I think I'm over the hump. I'm on the right side of things. Gonna make it, much to the chagrin of several folks who sent me, well, ill wishes, I know I wouldn't go out of my way to write something for someone to, I think what my mother would say. I'd be waiting for that smack in the back of the head. Anyway, Pete from Santa Fe sent me an email saying, Rick, I heard you tell your caller that Trump will not accept responsibility. If you really believe Trump will never accept responsibility, why do you think GOP candidates say they'd pardon him? I assume he's talking about, Trump, in order for him to get a pardon, he's got to, he's got to admit, he's got to fess up. I don't think he's capable of doing that. And I've said that from the beginning. I remember it's been a couple years. It was, the third year of Trump's presidency, where the whole big thing was, he's going to resign. And it was like for months, I'd have guests come on and they would tell me, he's going to resign. And I'm going, he's never resigning. Stop that. His ego would never allow him to resign. And look, I don't use the word never very often, but this is one of those things where his ego, I don't believe, will allow him to even to save his own skin. I don't think it's something that's in him. But answering the question, Pete, if I really believe that, that he won't accept this, why are these candidates saying that they will? I think it's simple. It's the litmus test for his next VP. Because, you know, even though I drive through my neighborhood and there are Trump Pence signs all over the place, I know Pence not going to be on the ticket. And that's the weird thing to me. Nobody's gone out and cut out the Pence part. Very, very twisted. But I digress. I think this is going to be one of those things where if he's picking a VP, it's got to be on the record that at least he'd have the out in the event that maybe, you know, maybe possibly, you know, if you know, given the right angle and the right PR fit, that he could get out. I think that's what this is. I think this will be this part of the sweepstakes to be VP. You know, part of that push to go, hey, look at me. Look how Trumpian I can be. So that's where I'm at. Got another email. No name attached. And I wish if you're going to send an email, at least make up a name. At least make up a name and tell me where you're from so I can address you properly. But Rick, this email writes, you seem to be a trans activist. Do I? I mean, really, do I seem to be a trans activist? Do I look like a trans activist? I don't think I am. I'm for people living their best lives. I'm for people doing whatever the heck they want within the confines of their four walls or within the frame of their body. As long as it doesn't infringe on my rights or someone else's. Yeah, then if that's your definition of a trans activist, then okay, I'll take it. They sent this thing, said, what do you have to say about this story? I'll bet you don't comment. So I got a comment. Evidently, this trans advocate, Rose Montoya, who I've never heard of, evidently the AP story says that this person is no longer welcome at the White House or the events that they have because they posted a social media pics topless, I guess with two other people at the Pride event on Saturday. I don't care about this. I know, you, but Rick, you're talking about it. No, someone said, I bet you don't comment. And I'll comment. I don't care. And we shouldn't care about this. This isn't a big deal in my world. They did something. They're going to be held accountable for it. No, where's the... If anything, we should go, good on Biden. You know, invited people. They acted up. Sent them away. Boundaries. Wow. That's the sign of... What's that L word? Oh, yeah. A leader. Maybe we had more of this. Maybe. Now, to address your whole, he's a trans activist. If that's what, you know, what makes you angry, I mean, okay. If that's what you need, okay. What I believe, and I've said this from the beginning, I believe people have the right to pursue their happiness. And whatever that is, God bless you. Do your thing. You know, we used to believe this. I mean, we as a society, we did. I remember it. You know, there was a whole do your own thing. You remember? And we, you know, we may have chuckled. I tell this story all the time. I was at one of the, you know, the big box store, you know, home improvement centers, you know, the orange one. And I'm walking down the lumber aisle and I'll never forget it. As long as I live, I'm never going to forget this. There was a guy who was bigger than me. And to be bigger than me, you're a big dude. Giant beard, hairy legs. Just a massive mountain of a man in a dress, a nice yellow sundress with a floppy hat, had the little purse, work boots. And that's what made me laugh. And I'm looking at the thing and I'm going, work boots, like, good on you, buddy. And I walked on my way, happy for this person that, you know what, that made them happy for the day. They got to be themselves. Who cares? Now, again, did I laugh? Yeah, I thought it was a funny sight. And I still think it's funny. But should we fire that person from their job? Should we throw them out of their home? Should we ostracize them? No, absolutely not. I may not agree with what everyone does, but that's the beauty of this country. that we've all got the right of life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. We have an opportunity to lead our own journey. And if that means you want to put up makeup and you want to put on a dress, or if you, that means you want to go and rearrange your plumbing, that's on you. This idea that we've got, you know, people, you know, Christian conservatives telling everyone how they should lead their lives without looking at themselves, that's a problem for me. And I will stand up and help fight for people who are being abused in the streets and people who are being fired or mistreated. Now, you're not going to catch me out on the Pride Day rallies. You're not going to catch me out there, you know, parading around. That's not my thing. But I'll fight for those people to be able to do it. I was talking about this a little bit earlier. And, you know, it came up during the conversation because there are a lot of colorful figures who show up at these. And I don't understand the reason to, you know, to dress up in really obnoxious outfits and to be the most extreme of the extreme. But hey, you know what? You got the right to do it. God bless you. I don't understand it, though. And the person I was talking to said, you know what I'd really like to see in these pride rallies? I'd like to see people showing up as doctors and lawyers. I'd like to see them fire, you know, somebody showing up in their police outfits or their fire outfits. I'd like to see them showing up in their work clothes. Instead of the caricatures that a lot of people have framed them being, show that these are average, everyday people. These are your neighbors. These are your friends. This is your family. These are your children. Your parents, your brothers, your sisters. Yeah. So to say, well, you're a trans activist. I'm a human activist. I'm someone who says, if as long as what you're doing doesn't hurt anyone else, you've got the right to do it. And that may be the libertarian part of me, but it makes sense. And we're just in this weird spot where, man, yeah, it's that everyone's pointing their finger at someone else while not looking at themselves. You know, I love Republican policy of let me tell you what's wrong with you. Let me tell you how to fix you. And you look at the things that they do, it's angering. And this is where, if you're going to call me a trans activist, I will wear that. And I'll wear it proudly. Probably not with a big bouquet of roses and a big flashy display. But if it means standing up and fighting for people who are being oppressed, who are being abused, who opportunities are being taken from just because they're a little different, then yeah, put me in that activist camp. But here, if you expected me to go, no, I'm all on the side of this person who went topless. This is an egregious violation. I'm not going there. Because there are boundaries, there are borders, there are things that you should be held accountable for. And thank goodness we got an old guy in the White House who understands that. Maybe this is what needs to happen. Maybe Biden needs to get the strap out. Get a switch off, though, one of the cherry trees, and marches himself down to the...
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
hey, you got this. Just breathe. Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.